What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
I'm sorry, I just typed Georgia-Alabama title game and Google asked me if I meant Alabama-Georgia title game. I'm not making this up. Alabama-Georgia. Okay.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. This is the internet's only college football podcast. You're listening to me, Spencer Hall, just one of your hosts here on the call today. Here in the same building, I have Holly Anderson. Hello, Holly.
Where is here?
Atlanta, Georgia. That's right, the heart of college football itself. Home of the SEC championship, which, as we all know, is a game that only happens once a year, unless it happens twice in the form of the national championship.
How are we going to know which team is better?
Got to make them play again. It's the only way to tell. And in case this doesn't work, just going to have to set it up, pop it, do it again. All part of an endless series of meaningless exhibitions that help us determine what the greatest place in the world is, Alabama or Georgia.
I need a third Georgian to really feel solid in this opinion.
Fortunately,
if you were wearing a Western Kentucky hoodie, that would be even better.
Fortunately, we have the Bailey Zappi Stan himself, Jason Kirk, joining us from beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. Bet you didn't know you were Bailey Zappi Stan. That's you, Jason.
I could not begin to tell you what that is, but I appreciate the honor, maybe.
Honor. Yeah, that would be record
Wait,
setting.
Wait, is that not the Go Top City?
That is. Bailey Zappi is the record setting quarterback
for the
Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. All
for
time
some reason,
touchdown and yardage leader.
Was not on college football players. For some reason, when you said that, I'm like, that's got to be some soccer manager or something.
Well, what else has happened?
Bailey Zappi! He was Milan's manager for a while.
I thought you're literally describing a person with that entire name. So, yeah. College football, it's like all of college football is like set aside in a different box in my brain. We don't need this until next August.
I don't have to remember where Western Kentucky is. Actually, that's true. You don't actually have to remember where it is for most of the time.
Basically never.
The thing I want to discuss, I think it's pretty obvious where we're going to start this week. So there's really only one elephant in the room left to address. and it's obviously this. This week I learned what the Pittsburgh toilet was. That's right. If you don't know what the Pittsburgh toilet is, I'm here to tell you, because I laughed for a solid hour. A Pittsburgh toilet, often called a Pittsburgh potty.
Oh, that's worse.
Is a common fixture in pre-World War II houses built in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, United States, and surrounding region. It consists of an ordinary flush toilet installed in the basement with no surrounding walls. That's right. Remember, if it's got walls around it or privacy, it ain't a Pittsburgh toilet. Most of these toilets are paired with a crude basement shower apparatus and large sink, which also doubles as laundry basin. Also, because Western Pennsylvania is steep, many basements have their own entryway, allowing homeowners to enter from their yard or garage. You can clean yourself up, and the primary function was
to serve... No, read the exact text there, because it's real weird.
Allowing homeowners to enter from their yard or garage, cleanse themselves in their basement.
That's... I'm hearing serial killer
Is it a bidet?
Cleanse... Like, how big an animal are you slaughtering?
Wash off the blood.
How powerful are these flushes?
I did think about how good that would be for drinking, right? Like, well, I'm just going to go into the basement. Let whatever mess happen, happen.
Sit on the toilet and drink 24 Iron Cities.
Is that what they're called?
It is.
Just in the while I'm under the shower that runs over the toilet, right?
I'm going to sit on the shower toilet and drink 48 beers.
Watch the Stillers.
Watch the damn Stillers. Watch Big Ben shamble around and throw the ball 3 yards poorly.
52 you know, times.
If you're really clever about this, you could have the TV angled at the top of the stairs with the door open in such a way that you could take your, like, after-murder poop while watching television. But not in the room, upstairs, because having one in the downstairs basement would just be tawdry.
Now, the actual reason for these is because a lot of steel workers and miners, you could come in, clean yourself off. That only explains to me about 75% of it. It doesn't explain why the toilet has no walls.
Or like a shower curtain around it. Dang. No.
Just the all-nude basement.
This is
letting it roll.
This is the best way to hold someone captive in The Sims, is to have a basement room that you lure them into and then you leave and lock the door. But you have to leave, you know, something down there if you want to really prolong their suffering. And like a toilet is an easy way to meet, you know, keep one of their needs afloat while they starve to death. So like Pittsburgh is where all the Sims live, I think.
Is there like one of those on-air signs outside the basement door at the top of the stairs so you know it is and is not...
Numerous
I can't come up with a good thing to call this.
Numerous people in my mentions described the sheer terror of having to use one of these and then hearing the door at the top of the steps go. Meaning, I think you have about 10 seconds to either...
Occupado! How do you say occupado?
Occupado!
Occupado!
Pata! Yeah, you have like 10 seconds to be a champion. You gotta make it work. You gotta make sure it's all good and done.
What do you think being a champion in this situation entails?
I don't know, but you only have about 10 seconds to do it.
Okay.
Or someone's going to see you in the bathroom using the bathroom? It's their fault.
That's on them.
Entering the bathroom.
That's a
basement.
Good attitude. That's a good attitude. I wish that more... I wish for all of us heading into this year that we respond to this kind of invasion, not with embarrassment, but with hostility.
This is on you, bro.
Yeah, I mean... You're the one who should have knocked on the basement door. You never know where someone might be pooping. Never open a door without knocking on it in case someone is pooping.
I like the chaos element of just not knowing when in a Pittsburgh domicile you might happen upon another human being on the shitter. Like that adds just like a sense of adventure.
I mean, if your main cuisine is like pierogies and sandwiches with fries in it, having toilets just scattered willy-nilly around the house really does make sense.
So it says because of Pittsburgh's hilliness and the sewage situation at the time, having the toilet in the lower portion of the house would limit the harm of sewage backups. Which, okay, that makes some sense. I wonder if then you had a basement even lower Would that be even better? Like, could we have a Circles of Hell situation where the ninth basement is... Oh, yeah, that's the good place to shit. That's the really good shit.
A sub-basement is just another word for sandwich.
Yeah, it's like the bottom layer of a sandwich, isn't it?
That's actually why it's called a sub-basement. It's for your sandwich poops.
It's when I eat the big subs.
Does this also necessarily imply that when the sewage backups come, they are always going to fall upon the basement dweller? Like, do you fall upon that shit sword as the homeowner?
I love the when there.
When, not if.
The shit goblin will find you.
They were frequent enough to create an entire, like, homemaking trend.
Yeah. Did you just invent the Pittsburgh shit goblin?
Yeah, eat shit, Pitt. That was never a mere colloquialism. It happened.
The Allegheny turd genie.
Many a Pittsburgher, unfortunately, found themselves.
That's actually why Allegheny football's mascot is the alligator. This is where they come from.
Oh my God, the Pittsburgh shit goblin, a real character.
Gator in the pot, bit my mom upon the, hey! It's a real cheer, I didn't make it up.
I do like the idea of having the boss toilet, though. If you're like, oh.
Wait, is the toilet for the use of boss, sorry for all this modifier talk so early in the show, but is the boss toilet for use by the boss, or is it as in boss fight occurs on this
boss
toilet?
Fight, okay. Because the Pittsburgh toilet is sometimes, I'm told, on a platform in the middle of the basement race.
On a platform?
Yeah, sometimes like raised slightly above.
Like a stage?
Like a challenge.
Like a dais?
Like the sword and the stone, but in reverse and with poop.
Is there a pin spot on it?
I
hope there's a light directly above it.
Like when you're 16, your dad's like, son, you just had a big Permanis. I know you're feeling the urge. Go attack the boss toilet. It's time. Get at it. Then you got to go down there.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says in 2004, whether they opt for new or old houses, transplants to the area might be pleasantly surprised by a few aspects of Pittsburgh housing stock.
They might be.
No, we're not talking about the Pittsburgh toilet. What? What do you mean? The paper adds, not usually a big selling point and nevertheless provides a good starting point for a basement powder room. No. I'm not building a room around. The basement is the room. It's a giant bathroom. Who doesn't want that?
That's what I'm saying. That's when you're like...
My daddy didn't get black lung from U.S. Steel to put a room around this toilet.
When you have to sit there like the emperor surveying all you own, focused only on
you
one task.
You could take like basement inventory at the time. Like if you're craftsman, if your pegboard or whatever is facing there, you could be like, oh, I need to find that wrench because it's missing from its spot.
I saw one yesterday in my mentions.
Server looks maybe more horrified than I've seen him in a while.
I saw one in my mentions that had an air hockey table within reach.
Yes! Yes!
Meaning that somebody would be like, hey, hold on.
Because air hockey solo is a fine game.
We're going to keep this going. You're just sitting there playing air hockey with somebody taking a crap. Just, oh, God, don't look.
The winner gets to go upstairs and use the bathroom.
Yeah, yes. You stay down there and you use that one.
It's called Winner's Walk.
This would actually be great for kids.
What?
It really would. It would be the best.
Kids already can't keep their pee confined any place in a bathroom.
So fine, put them down in the basement where there's a drain.
That's just
where there's
places.
No floor, no, like, you know, nice tile to ruin or anything.
There's just more places for them to pee on. That's just going to make them like it's just going to make them ambitious. It's going to.
But they're just peeing on concrete. Like no one cares.
Yeah,
get creative, kids.
All right, Uncle Jason said so.
It's fine. It's fine.
I was shook for like 6 hours when I read about this. So it's like
this,
imagining the possibilities of having a room that was just an immense concrete vault with only an elevated toilet in the middle.
I would like to recommend
an
article in Pittsburgh Magazine that I'm reading right now entitled Pittsburgh's Potty. which includes, growing up, I will admit, I used that toilet on occasion. Four sisters and lots of cousins regularly descending upon my grandmother's house for dinner every Saturday meant it would be a rare occurrence when you would find the lone furnished, well-enclosed upstairs bathroom available and or devoid of noxious fumes. So there we would sit on the basement potty. Under lights so fluorescently bright you could do surgery under them, willing our little bodies to empty as fast as they could. Wondering if there was a cousin or a stray dog watching us from the window. Praying Grandma would... praying Grandma wouldn't choose that particular second to retrieve a can of sauce from the shelf, thinking this must be what it's like in jail. Wondering why the heck doesn't Pap put some, quote, darn, walls around this thing. And then we'd feel guilty because we thought a swear word in our heads. And it goes on and on and on.
What a special moment for the entire family.
Pittsburgh, it's a wonderful, it's a blue collar town, makes you tough.
Gives you a whole place to go in and slam in and just sop up the place after you had 48 Iron City beers.
It makes you efficient.
Yeah. I just love, I was thinking the whole time of there's this Lao spirit tradition of riding the spirit horse and talking to your ancestors. And I'm like, this is Pittsburgh's version of that, right? What are you going to do? I'm going to go down on the mother toilet.
My ancestors.
The ancestors are going to talk to me while I ride the spirit toilet of the basement. What'd they say? Run the ball. I said, run the ball. Run the ball and play defense.
This article continues. We Pittsburghers take pride in what makes us unique, even if they are ridiculous things like salads with French fries, chairs that reserve parking spaces, our utter inability to yield, Steelers jerseys in church, or yes, that odd toilet in the basement that, despite our best intentions, we will probably never, ever enclose.
You people didn't invent jerseys in church.
Steelers jerseys in church. I think it is rare among NFL people.
Okay.
In our part of the world,
some of y'all never been to Auburn, and it shows.
People are known to wear collared, dressy button downs to the fucking football game, and then the jersey to church. And I don't know which is more ridiculous. Honestly, it's probably the Saturday one. We're dressing up nice for a football game. That is completely beyond me in every way. But I guess I shouldn't judge.
At Auburn, you know, is there a place where you could accept it? At Auburn, I won't accept it, but I'll understand. I'll be like, I know why you did that. It's still dumb.
No, dressing up for football, it's people do whatever they want. It will never make sense to me anywhere, any game.
It's so hot. I've seen photos of people at Florida, like back in the day, in like suits and ties in the stands. And I'm like, I'm amazed that you all did not die on the spot.
Yeah, ladies dressing up for games can at least claim a temperature-based reason.
You got ventilation.
Dudes, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Tie? Dudes, if we want to show up in sundresses for the ventilation, let's go. Let's start that movement. But, like, ties and button-downs and slacks and shit? Mm-mm. Y'all are beyond me.
I would way, way sooner show up in a dress than I would the suit and the tie. Easy. That's an easy decision if you're giving me a choice between
the
two.
Nice, like, drop waist.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, I got short legs, though. They're nice, but they're short.
No, that's what you have, right? A long torso, so you can rock a drop waist.
Thank you. Do we want to talk about the semis at all? We just let that slide.
We did.
Done.
Pretty sure,
folks,
we did.
If you were there New Year's night at our Twitter space when we discussed the semifinals in vast, extensive detail, then congratulations to you. If you weren't, then you weren't. That's okay. We'll do that type of thing again some other day.
Don't complain to us that we didn't record the show. It's an enormous pain in the ass, and nobody was paying us to be there.
Drop the mixtape. If anybody got it, we'll circulate it on.
No, we won't.
Tape.
No, we won't.
It was recorded. I know that much. I will not. I will not point anyone to wherever it might have ended up. Not for any reason. It was, you know, normal stuff. But it is just hilarious that it was recorded.
Yeah, there's nothing to discuss there. Like, the only thing out of that that might even merit note is that, I don't know, Jim Harbaugh might go to the NFL.
Where's this coming from?
Wait, what?
Ooh, yeah.
Are you starting this? Is this Spencer Hall reporting?
I heard
No.
Shut down full cast. Spencer said it.
No, remember the story that I was flagrantly trying to start was that it was going to be the last game for Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, which, if that were true, what a hilarious thing to go out on.
It's how he would have wanted to go.
Punting on fourth and one to lose the game.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yep.
Does that mean Brian Ferentz has already had sex, or is it's really, really in the cards? And
he had a real spring in his step on the sideline.
I'm going to say he's already done it, and he's already beaten up his dad.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The job's done.
The job's done. He's had his Bakke moment. Brian Ferentz has had sex and gotten strong enough to beat up his dad. He's ready to take over the Iowa football program. The news regarding Harbaugh. Sources from both the NFL side and at Michigan tell The Athletic that Jim Harbaugh might be tempted to leave the Wolverines and to return to the NFL. That is from Bruce Feldman. From fellow NFL reporter Stephen Godfrey, we have this in response to all of this. Yeah, so the Harbaugh Raiders thing's been floating for months. It wasn't in response to beating Ohio State or losing to UGA at the legit start of the college football carousel. Ryan Day to Chicago and Jim Harbaugh to the Raiders wouldn't go away. So there you go. There you go. Jim Harbaugh shopping it around.
And Arizona football is fun again.
Jim Harbaugh, who did take a 45% pay cut to come and coach. You're like, I wonder when that's going to come back to roost. Here we go. That's when it's going to come back to roost. Right now.
I love a good roost.
All this roosting. If he leaves, I don't know. Let's start a rumor. Is that Urban Meyer to Michigan? Sure.
No, Urban Meyer has to go to Notre Dame. I have, as we spoke 4 years ago.
I think Holly just had it. Arizona football is the right direction.
Oh, that's actually correct. He could be back in the pack. The Pac-12 does seem to be about his level.
Well, Jed Fish has 2 years of Michigan experience on his resume. So,
how true.
I think Mama's calling.
I do like a nice fish.
He does play tennis.
What a resume this is.
He's got quite the resume, man.
He sure does, guys.
Also, he coached Gainesville. A K-12 school in Gainesville was his first coaching job. And then the New Jersey Red Dogs arena team. Okay, got it. And then just bounced back and forth between college and the NFL for just a really long time. He's worked for almost every team, and now he's Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, I thought he was way younger for this exact reason. And
yeah,
there's a drop down
45,
on that resume.
And yeah. Based on this, he started coaching while he was in K-12.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this like putting your internship on your resume as a job?
Yeah, I'd want to kick the tires on several lines in that resume. A call where he's like, grad assistant. I'm like, what exactly did you do when you were 19 as a grad assistant? He also, by the way, has one of those NFL resumes where it's 2 years at Central Connecticut, 3 years at Eastern Illinois. Next job, quarterback coach for the Baltimore Ravens.
This is
like,
how
what?
Chip Kelly happens. So you have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, because it's how Jed Fish happens, but it is also how Chip Kelly happens.
Yeah.
You never know. Also, you assume Jed Fish is younger than he actually is because he has two D's at the end of the Jed. If your name is Jed and is one D, I assume that you're naturally 79 years old in your head. If it's Jed and it's two D's, well, I don't know. You're young. You're fun.
What is it short for?
I don't know. The wiki just says Jed R.E. Fish.
Jedford.
Jedediah.
Jedward.
Jedry. Jedabeth. Jedabel.
Jedry. Jedabel.
Jedfany.
Oh God, honey, tell me who it is. His name's Jed. I feel like, oh God.
Oh fuck.
You got Jedded. Is it with one D or two? Two. That's so much worse. That's why Arizona football's fun again.
I'm leaving you for Jed Fish.
Oh.
The heartbreak of being cuckolded by Jed Fish.
Why'd you have to say his name?
Why? He's got like a he's got a sub 500 record as a head coach, but as a lover, he's a Hall of Famer.
And that's our show.
That's not the show. Can't be the show. Right. I can't end on that.
Well,
I can't.
Apparently, this guy's wife is ending on Jed Fish, though.
My wife. There are a finite number of outcomes at this point of the title game. What, in your mind, is the funniest possible outcome? Because I could see arguments for both sides.
I think it is, we're going to have some callbacks, okay? Georgia has a double-digit halftime lead. Bama comes back. Georgia says, not so fast, we are the ones who get to play the quarterback change this time. Mm-hmm. Georgia then comes back, and then Bama comes back and wins.
I really like that one because the one thing that I thought that I kind of hoped we would see in first the SEC championship game and the semifinal. My great wish this postseason has been to see for Georgia to pull the quarterback switcheroo and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? for everyone to build up this huge narrative. And then it's like, well, shit.
Yeah. At halftime, Bama's up by 10. And then we see JT Daniels taking the field. And the broadcast airs the
Tua game.
And like, oh, finally, here we go, the conclusion to this. And then Bama wins by 30.
Kirk Herbstreit's in the background talking about how you see how he didn't opt out and how he cares the right way. And then, you know, his head is knocked clean off of his shoulders.
I think he died loving football, though.
Yeah.
If they just keep going into the quarterback.
No, I'm sorry. That was our longtime friend of the program, Joe Tess, who said cares about the game the right way. There was so much to go around this week.
You know,
podcasting is a visual medium, so you can't see my face blooming into the Tyra we were all rooting for you gif right now. But I assure you I'm making that face.
I think that Georgia hopefully should go deeper into the quarterback depth chart. Brock Vandegrift should come in and throw a pick six.
Okay, I'm a truther. He's not real.
Brock Vandegrift is real.
He's not real.
Uh-huh. He's UGA real. Yeah, Brock Vandegrift.
So kind.
Also, I want you to look
he's
at
just
the...
just being grown as a battery for his organs.
I want you to look, by the way, at their QB roster and tell me which name really jumps out at you.
Would that be there's... Jackson Muschamp?
That'd be Jackson Muschamp!
Okay. No relation?
Look at him.
Lots of relation.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Look at that boy.
Oh, honey.
That is... Yeah.
Wow, there is an apple that nestled right next to the tree.
First of all, Brock Vandegrift, if you want to... If you have any conspiracy theories about the makeup of the Georgia quarterbacks room, Brock Vandegrift's headshot will do nothing to dissuade those. Brock Vandegrift looks
a pirate. He's a dashing pirate.
That's a cavalry general, but not for the winning side. Nope. That's from Prince Avenue Christian School in Bogart, Georgia. That's highly touted quarterback Brock Vandegrift, which they do have a pronunciation guide for it online if you are having Brock Vandegrift.
Yeah, because it's not Vandegrift.
Vandegrift.
It's Vanda, like Pandegrift.
Vandegrift.
Rhymes with Pandegrift.
Stetson Bennett's headshot makes him look like he's 35, which means he's pretty much like every other 22-year-old graduating from the University of Georgia. Jackson Muschamp, very related, heavily related.
He could have gotten a different haircut. Like, part of this is on him.
Put it on me just like daddy's. With a bowl, just like Kirby. And Carson Beck, redshirt freshman from Jacksonville. All of these people are available. And I believe Nathan Priestley's transferred, so I don't think he's in there.
Lest we forget Colin Drake. Who does he wear number 26? The quarterback who wears number 26? What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you what. He may be from Ennis, Texas, but that boy's 100% Georgia right there. Yeah, they should just keep going down the chart, letting these guys throw pick sixes, because that's the curse of Georgia. That's it. They'll come out down by 7, put 3 different quarterbacks in, down by 28 in a heartbeat. That would be the funniest outcome to me, is if they do that and just absolutely get rolled while N'Kobe Dean plays the game of his lifetime and nobody notices because it's in a 28-point loss.
We noticed,
N'Kobe. We love you.
There's also, what if Georgia wins? Pause for laugh track. And immediately it's dynasty done, torch passed, and then Bama wins, you know, the next 5 or whatever.
What if Georgia wins and then Kirby retires?
That would be smart.
Just go out on top.
Ah.
Pun not even intended. That would, I mean, I don't know why.
It's never,
if you win a fucking title, get the fuck out of there. You're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Leave.
Run.
That's right. Just be like, or get the AD job, right? Just go ahead and get it.
Yeah,
like,
pull the Vince Dooley. Yeah. And then just hire people who suck, who can never be better than you, and protect yourself for 30 years.
Vince Dooley, I saw a headline today, and I can think of no purpose to write this headline other than to taunt God. But Vince Dooley is attending this game in person, and the first thing I could think is, like, y'all gonna kill Vince Dooley.
Do you think,
like, either by COVID or by on-field disappointment, y'all are going to kill Vince Dooley. Is that what y'all want?
If I was Vince Dooley, I'd be rooting against them.
Yeah, I know. Like, hey, you missed this, huh? You missed that, mm-hmm. that time before most of you were born when we won. Yeah, hey, that was me.
Yeah. Remember how good that was? That's me. That's all me.
Yeah, that extremely East Alabama accent. I can't even.
Hey, whatever
that
is.
The more I think about this, the more I'm on board with just getting one game off, one championship off Nick, and then retiring. Like, think about how Lane Kiffin is undefeated all time versus Mark Richt and Steve Spurrier forever. That's hilarious. Don't you want that experience from more coaches?
I do. I want
trade off it at quarterback dinners for the rest of your days with our blessing.
That's what I want. I want to flash up to the booth, up to the luxury box, where Alabama takes the pick six to go
club,
up. By,
you can make a club of them.
Go up
like the fucking 76 Dolphins or whatever.
Yeah, make them go up by 28. You catch Vince Dooley fist pumping. Yes. Yes. Maybe coach is confused. I ain't confused. I'm celebrating. Everything I gave this great university is preserved.
All right, Spencer, what's your maximum preferred giggles outcome?
My maximum preferred giggles outcome is futility. That like it's 34-3. That like Bama is up 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. No one's watching. That Georgia just can't do anything on offense, and that it's over. That's my maximum giggles. Because anything else risks, like, the real tension of Georgia winning, and then maybe I'll have some sympathy. No, I just want to go ahead and cut off any complexity to the storyline whatsoever and just make it a farce. One quarter and done. That would be the funniest.
Can we unpack this a little bit? Because we've done a lot of talking about how all we ever want is for something different to happen. Is there a limit to that desire? Is there some kind of point of no return that you have personally reached with that?
That would be different.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It would be different, right?
This usually, because that the game Spencer describes, that usually only happens in Athens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But with this setup and this scenario, just a complete voiding. Just a complete, like...
We're talking a lot about shitting in the basement today.
Exactly. And a complete expulsion of them from the game is what I really want to see. And Kirby ejected. If you could eject Kirby in the second quarter.
Okay, I'm on board.
So, like, for most of this season, I was, like, really on board the, like, okay, Georgia, be great express. Like, that was one of my primary things I wanted to see this season was, like, okay, how high can they ascend? And man, that shit was squandered. Like y'all punted that storyline in the in the SEC title game. So like now it's like, I just want to see something funny.
You have been very vocal about how fun this team was to watch, and I think at some point during the season, all three of us agreed with you at one point or another, especially as regards their defense. Was there a particular point during the SEC championship game where you felt that? Was it a snapping? Was it a waning? Was it like a?
I mean, if they had beaten Bama in a shootout, that would still hold for me. Mm-hmm. Like you know what I mean? Like it would be like, oh, yeah. Okay, Bama scored points. Oh, whatever. They could still go down as one of the all-time greats. Like, you know, LSU 2019, they didn't score 70 points a game. You know, mm-hmm. There were some games that were struggles. So like one rough game against a really good team, okay. But like the offense's complete lack of participation in that game, near complete lack of participation in that game, sort of ended up removing the entire team from any sort of all-time discussion whatsoever. So now it's just like, this is any team, same as the other. One of them will win the title. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I do think this is the game where Will Anderson, you know, completely wrecked shop and actually, like, this is where we get, what, two turnovers from Stetson Bennett. There! Gonna get two turnovers.
Hey, man, the USPS has been suffering, too.
Slow delivery times.
Not if
that's what we're looking at.
Pass at all.
That would be the smart thing to do.
55 runs.
Do you know the respect that I would have? Like, okay, Holly was talking about this.
Like, I got to go back to the old me.
You said 55 runs, and it made me think of a conversation we had where we imagined being the Little League coach, the Pee Wee football coach for a football team.
This was last night watching Peyton and Eli, where they darkly hinted that Peyton is coaching his son's flag football team.
Yes.
And we immediately made nightmare faces, but then realized there's a worse nightmare, which is coaching a flag football team that Peyton is not a coach on, but that his child is on.
Yeah.
And just having him as an involved parent. That's worse.
Because you would just hand it right to him, wouldn't you? You'd just say, hey, do you want to coach this? Because I don't want to think about you watching me doing that.
Can you imagine the emails that you get from him?
Oh, like this has 28 attachments.
You get in the car and you plug your phone in and it's like ding, and you're like, God damn.
Ding, 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 ding. 3:38 a.m. This is an hour and a half long video you sent me of you in front of a whiteboard.
And so we decided the solution to coaching Peyton's children in flag football would just be to call runs.
Yeah. Never call a pass. If I've got Peyton Manning watching me call.
We are running the wing tee.
Oh, yeah. 55 runs. That's all you're getting. We're not passing. We're going to do maybe four run plays. Maybe four.
Four things can happen when you pass the ball, and three of them are bad. The third is an email from Peyton.
Yeah, and I don't want that. So
the fourth is a voicemail from Peyton.
We're going to run the ball, and we're going to punt. Do you know how much?
Hey, Mark.
Spencer, I just got to talk to you about that call. You know, it was the 33rd play of the game that you guys called. It was in the third quarter with exactly 3 minutes and 18 seconds left.
I've been thinking about this watching Peyton and Eli this season and wondering if he is like calling other NFL coaches and just like bugging that now that he can as a member of the media and as one of, you know, the few members of the media that can have access to these coaches. If he's just like calling them up and talking strategy at them. You know, like Mike Tomlin wakes up after the Steelers have played on Monday Night Football. There's like seven missed calls from Peyton, and they all come with a voicemail.
It's just him and Cutcliffe. It's just him and Cutcliffe texting back and forth forever going, hey, what about this zone blocking
thing?
God,
but that is the cussingest thread.
Oh, God. So
Eli's not on it because he gets uncomfortable with the language.
But that's what I would do.
Can I bring up a stats thing? Speaking of Georgia's rushing
Please
attempts.
Please do.
They are 70th in rushing attempts per game, which is probably nowhere. It's certainly nowhere near what I expected. They're below BYU, FSU, Clemson, Texas, so on and so forth. Yet in passing attempts per game, they are 103rd. Georgia is really good at not playing offense. They've barely done any offense on the year. Like, you see 70th in rushing, and you think, wait, do they throw a lot more than I expected? No, they throw even less than I expected. It's just no offense is happening here.
We don't actually like anything to happen in a football game for anyone.
Yeah, like the jokes are all completely real. Kirby does not like football accumulating. Wants as little of it to happen as possible.
Their game should be much faster, though, right? Like, we really should get, like, if Georgia wanted to win My Respect Forever, and that is, of course, the primary mission of Georgia football, is to win mm-hmm. My Respect. Mm-hmm. But if they really wanted to win My Respect Forever, they would just run the ball every down. Just run the ball every down. Don't let Stetson Bennett pass. Maybe work him into that QB option game. Go ahead. We can use him as a runner. He's a talented runner, right? He's a capable runner of the football. As Michigan found out the hard way, it is both embarrassing and terrible when Stetson Bennett runs on you. But he's capable of it. He's actually much faster than you think he is.
In 14 games, Georgia produced fewer offensive snaps than did Iowa.
Wow.
Than did Steve Adazio's team in 12 games.
Goodness.
Then, they are, in terms of offensive snaps per game, they're the last among 14-game teams down there. There's lots of teams that played only 12 or 13 that are ahead of them. Yeah. There's anti-football all around. They're going to play a 15th game and only... That might still be behind, like, Utah.
Maybe that's keeping their players healthy. Like, they don't have any tread. They don't have any tread on their tires. They played 15 games a season. How's this possible?
Would you like a lightly used Brock Bowers? I'll let you take it off the lot for no less than, let's say, 50. Let's do it for 50, boys. I can't see any way for them to win because I just don't think... The dude who touches the ball the most on every single snap, that's the guy who matters in this game.
On defense, they're also last among 14-game teams in snaps. Like, it's the same situation. No football happens in Georgia games. Yeah.
Nobody says like perfect. Anything.
Perfect. It's a spiritual sinkhole. Oh, my God, that's it. I told you N'Kobe Dean was going through a tesseract.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I was looking at that wrong. But still, 79th in defensive snaps.
This is how he's going sideline to sideline without eating clock.
Yeah.
He's folding space time.
Space fold. Yeah. Additionally, I think that they're just the Goldberg of teams because
they got one move.
They got one move. And
if it don't work in the first 3 minutes, well, sorry. That's all we got.
That's it. Say this for struggling Alabama. I've seen them win matches off the top rope. I've seen them win matches, you know, with barbed wire. I've seen them win in cage matches. I've seen them do all kinds of insane. I've seen them win in dark matches. I've seen them go off the roof. I've seen them struggle. I've seen them win in 2 seconds. They've done it all. I really can't think of a way that I haven't seen this Alabama team win.
You can, actually, and I think it's this one because you haven't seen... Okay, there's one, maybe two Lane years in particular that I can think of, but you haven't seen Nick win with a team that he has openly despised.
Spencer, like I'll tell you what kind of match they haven't won. They haven't won the Royal Rumble with the 12th man in it.
That's the...
Yeah! That's who should retire.
Is that the weird match?
Yeah, imagine if Jimbo retired right after 2013.
Right.
He'd just be like making so much money as like a TV commentator. Blah, 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 just babbling away. And like we'd all think, oh man, imagine how many championships he could have won.
He's a great value prospect as an announcer too because you get more information per second.
Yeah, imagine him calling like a fucking,
Cricket.
Or
him and Gus Johnson working together. That's what I want.
Oh God!
Oh!
It would sound like Super Nintendo announcers when like they didn't have actual like, you know, announcers couldn't say words. They just
welcome,
like suggest
blarb,
words.
Yeah.
Just Gus Johnson having a Gusgasm every 3 minutes while Jimbo's like, what's wrong with you, fella? Do I need to call somebody?
Having a Jimbo-gasm.
Have a Jimbo-gasm. Oh my God. That guy right there, he's big and fast. That's why I call him Big Fast. Yeah, that's what I want to see. Jimbo, get smart. Stop coaching football.
It's bad for you. Quit it.
Smarten up and stop coaching football. Let's see. Yeah, imagine if Urban had actually retired when he'd attempted to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, you idiot. What? Or if you're coaching football, task rabbit that shit. That's it. You got enough money. Why don't you task rabbit it? Oh, my God. Is that what Nick Saban's doing? Is that what all of these advisors secretly are? He's just task rabbit. He's doing. He's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Here, I'm busy from 3 to 5. Are you available to coach special teams? Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's all Kyle Flood. It's all Bill O'Brien.
We're going to find out afterwards. We're like, Butch Jones won 2 titles, man. He ran that whole thing.
Okay, don't get crazy. Don't.
By the way, Bill O'Brien, speaking of NFL rumors, Big Game B.O.B. is back in the hunt for one of those jobs. Successfully, after seeing, I think, Steve Sarkisian's success at Texas, I think it makes sense that
it does make sense to think that anybody can do it.
Yeah. It's pretty much just plug and play, so...
Who the hell is going to hire Bill O'Brien?
Is in the rumors. I think the Jags was the rumor I saw.
Perfect. Perfect.
I don't know what the right answer is for the Jags, but there are worse answers, obviously.
The Jags have done us narratively a great favor, though, because you could plug literally anyone in there and it would be an improvement.
That's true.
Except a decent man. I don't want to see a decent man take that job. Fortunately, there's not many of those.
A decent man wouldn't take that job.
I do like the idea
of
Bill...
It's kind of self-selecting because Jacksonville.
I do like the idea of Bill O'Brien taking that gig because that means that the last time that Bill O'Brien took a gig, the franchise ended up in the hands of an actual youth pastor. So there's no telling who could end up in charge of the Jags this time. Could be us. Could be you, listener.
It should be us.
They pay pretty well, so yeah, we could split the money several ways.
What are we gonna do with all that money, though?
In Jacksonville,
world
is our oyster.
Stack cheese. That's it. Do you have a savings account? That's where I suggest it goes. Nowhere else to put it in Jacksonville.
Nowhere
buy
else
pills and
account?
Sell them.
I don't know. Maybe you, if you wanted to retire and you wanted your money to grow, then maybe you could plant a couple seeds. Maybe let a couple acorns hit the soil.
I'm not helping you do this.
Mm-hmm. If I'm
and grow
Bob
into mighty
Stoops
oaks
right after the year 2000 and I retire, and then, you know, spend the next 21 years letting people think I could have won like 10 titles, I'm taking all that money and putting it in acorns.com/fullcast, and then I'd have the same amount, maybe. That's
what
not
year
a guarantee.
I'm pretty sure we had a show then. Y'all had a show then. I wouldn't hear.
Yeah, no, you can, acorns.com. It is the app for the every man or woman to invest, to let your money grow.
Or children,
because remember, that is an option. In addition to your invest account, you can sign up for the family plan. That'll give you a later account for retirement, a bank smarter account for checking with the mighty green concusso card.
You don't have to have a gender. Don't let Spencer make you think that you do.
That's true. Or you could contribute to the Early for Kids account, which I'm going to give you a little update here to see which one of my dastardly sons has been embezzling harder than the other. We are holding steady at $54, $54 lead for the younger child. So at the moment, both of them laying low, probably because, you know,
gone, or do they know you're watching?
That's the thing, is that I think over the holidays they knew I was watching. Once things get back in full swing and there's childcare, they'll probably get back on it.
How physically do they pull this off? Like
hacking.
Okay.
Hacking. Roblox hacking. I'm convinced when they're telling me they're playing Roblox, what they're actually doing is hacking my Acorns account and funneling the money to various nefarious crypto schemes.
And by hacking, you mean you have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old and you just hand them your smartphone every once in a while?
That does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does happen. So that's hacking. That's what hacking is, Holly. I don't know if you knew that, but that's definitely hacking.
I'm very proud to see you make this dad transition. That's a very important dad step in things that are determined as hacking.
That's it. I'm in. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. I'm in. Yes, and my own current, my own current balance right now, we're up 6.43% overall. So well done. Well done, Acorns. The smart tool for individual investing.
6.58% here. So, market's whooping ass.
I need to talk to them. Need to get on that Jason Kirk plan. Call Acorns and be like, get me on that Jason Kirk.
I don't know what I did differently.
Get me on them Jason Kirk stocks.
But you don't have to know, and that's the point of Acorns.
That's the beauty of it.
I need Kirk coin. Invest in Kirk coin. Now.
All my apes here.
Oh, good. We're talking about the real only story I care about this week.
Oh man, you know what?
Look, I know some people. Look, I'm sorry about y'all's families and everything. It is objectively hilarious to talk about this and have to include the words monkeys.
You know what I think NFT stands for? Nice fucking t-shirts.
Oh,
home field apparel.
All right. You want to talk about beautiful images that are worth a lot of money and will make you feel better about your place in society? Homefieldapparel.com.
Shirts that you're pretty sure nobody else has. But like these ape boys, will be proven wrong. But unlike ape boys, we'll be delighted to discover that there are others.
Yeah, these tokens are fungible, but they're still tokens.
Fungible and machine washable.
Home Field Apparel, where they put the fun in fungible.
I absolutely, I'm very excited for the next edition of Big News Saturday. It is around the corner. I will not divulge the schools, but they are largely basketball.
They divulged one of them today. It's DePaul.
DePaul?
Yep.
Ooh.
Very fungible.
I will tell you, I have the list because, you know, we are home field insiders. And it's good. It's good. And includes at least one or two schools that I'm going to have to purchase because they've got outstanding colors. But you know what? The colors may vary from logo to logo. Quality may vary according to your taste. Overall, though, the most comfortable, well-made gear across the board that you will get in licensed collegiate apparel.
I think that's right. And if you have yet to purchase, somehow, offer code FULLCAST will get you 20% off your first order of extremely fungible tokens.
Our patience is wearing thin, but we will still give you this offer.
Please us.
Listen, if you've listened to the show the entire time and you've never bought from home field, what the fuck?
newer listeners, we extend grace towards you, those of you who've been around for years and somehow never bought any home field apparel. I don't know. I don't want to say we will judge you. I want to welcome your explanation. How did that happen?
Maybe it's the reverse of the people who get the news from us.
Yeah. They don't have people who don't have any clothes yet.
I was too busy to run and tell my my lady wife that Rahm Emanuel is ambassador to Japan, a thing I learned about on a college football podcast. And thus I missed the commercial for the soft cotton garments, mostly for the upper body, available at homefieldapparel.com.
Were we familiar with the concerts that are going to happen around the national title game?
I need to start marking the number of years since the last time I had heard of any of these people. But no, I don't know the list.
I don't know it.
Let's see, Spencer, read the list and let's see how far we get before none of us have heard of any of these.
Okay. Let me get the complete list before we do this.
The year it was in Atlanta, we knew, did they have Kendrick? We knew somebody who was in that Outside Park show.
Kendrick put on like a 15-minute set.
Yeah.
With a lot of fire. So, the college football playoff list. Saturday, January 8th on the AT&T Playoff Playlist Live stage.
This is not at the game, right?
Yes, it's not at the game. Will be by a global superstar, Doja Cat.
Okay. I know Doja. I have Doja Cat awareness.
And one of Spotify's most 500 listened to artists.
That is, they couldn't find a better qualifier than that.
AJR.
Well, American Jukebox Rental.
I know Doja Cat of those two, not the... I do not know the 500th most popular musician, apparently.
Serber, do you know of this? You're a musician. Serber's never heard of this, huh?
That is one of Spotify's. Yes, I will tell you that they are an American indie pop trio from Manhattan, New York.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And all three of them look like dudes at Columbia, which evidently they're dudes from Columbia. Sunday, January 9th. The music continues.
That's a threat.
A threat and a promise with Grammy Award winner 21 Pilots.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
I am unfortunately aware of this one.
And multi-platinum pop artist Ava Max.
Once again, not a clue.
I think that one's fake.
Multi-platinum?
Can you name a song by 21 Pilots? I
can tell you that there's not 21 of them.
21 Pilots. I off the top, I can't name one. Looking at the list, I'm sure we've heard all of these, but I never engaged intentionally.
They did that Suicide Squad song.
They did Heathens. Yeah. They did that. And yeah, I believe they're from Ohio, so I'm just going to disqualify them.
Yeah. Brother, they're from Columbus.
And again, I'm pretty sure there's just two of them.
Yeah, they're lying more than tenfold about the number of pilots.
What happened to the other 19 pilots?
It's an unnecessary number of pilots.
Don't murder them and then take a shit in a Pennsylvania basement.
It's got to be a 9/11 conspiracy theory. There were 19 other pilots.
Oh, dear.
We have 21 pilots. We're going to need a huge toilet for them. One with an entire floor devoted to it. Then... There's more. On Monday, January 10th, the stage will be transformed into the Capital One stage at All-State Championship Tailgate.
It's not a subdivision. Calm down.
Multi-platinum selling hitmaker Sam Hunt will perform, along with YouTube's artist on the rise, Breland.
Not a clue.
Breland.
Yep. Breland.
Is that a horse that can do math?
God, I hope so.
Sounds like a horse that can do math.
If I was at a concert and Sam Hunt's like, hey y'all, thank you. You've been real nice. Let's everybody give a hand. Let's give it up for Breland, the talking counting horse that's gonna sing for you.
It's also impossible to find information about this person because Bashaud Breland was just added to the practice squad by the Cardinals, and that's taking up all the news.
It seems Sam Hunt was played ball at Cedartown High School. Was Georgia Sports Writers All-State, AAA as all-purpose player.
Yeah, that's UAB,
played,
Sam
played
Hunt.
Quarterback at Mitsu, and then UAB.
Breland is a... This song is called Throw It Back, which makes it sound like this fella sings about fishing. Maybe we can accept this person.
Yeah, this is the lyrics to My Truck, which is Breland's biggest hit. You can drink my liquor. You can call my lady.
Jason manifested this person into existence.
Honestly, looking at Sam Hunt's wiki, I'm pretty sure he's the country singer I've always thought of. The Body Like a Back Road. Like, that's the song.
Wait,
I'm always
thinking.
Wait,
is that who this is?
That's who that is. Yes.
That is, as far as I know, that's the only country song. Like,
girl,
I heard that and I'm out on the whole fucking genre.
This is just what we're going to do all halftime. Girl, is your body a back road? Because it's poorly maintained by the county.
It's covered with weird signs. Weird, outdated signage.
Girl, is your body a back road? Because I'm pretty sure I flattened a raccoon on it.
Your body reminds me of a back road because I once saw a dead raccoon on it.
But we were both into that, so.
Yeah, that was fine.
Okay. We may have to rock with Breland.
He sells.
Because I accidentally clicked over to his merch store, and there is a shirt that says, It's the My Truck guy, but he's very talented and has other amazing songs.
Like My Boat.
Vreeland, we will accept you on a provisional basis.
Vreeland, by the way, I'm going to read to you the lyrics from My Truck, a selection. Wood grain dash with the matte black finish, and you match my shorty with the big old butt. Know them boys soft because they got hard feelings. You can try me if you want to go and test your luck. Tell them boys to come and get me. I be riding through the city, young, rich, and I'm pretty. I like this. Okay. I'm interested.
Dude, he's playing the Ryman in March.
He's playing the Ryman. Let's go see the dude who sings My Truck at the Ryman.
Play My Truck.
Who'd you go to see? Did you see like Loretta Lynn?
Also has.
Did you see Jason Isbell? Fuck that. I went to see Vreeland do My Truck at the Ryman.
The Fish song called Throw It Back is featuring Keith Urban. I assume Keith Urban gets thrown back.
Or is Keith Urban throwing it back in that song?
Oh, you made Keith Urban do a rap squat. Keith Urban's old, man. Don't make his knees do that.
He's still in that rap squat. It's going to take him several weeks to be extricated from
quite brittle.
That rap squat.
So, do I gather Vreeland is like the rapper who hangs out with country singers?
That appears to be his deal.
That's yeah.
A good
but
line
I
of work.
Really like the It's the My Truck, but he has other songs shirt.
Yeah. Also, as far as bro country goes, Sam Hunt
looks like Egon from Ghostbusters. He's got that. He's kind of got an Egon vibe.
Also, Sam Hunt for real.
I still don't believe Sam Hunt is real.
College football relevant. Just say the man's got snaps. He's in college football reference.
Hey, do you guys want to talk some actual college football?
Man, I guess.
Yeah, I think.
No,
I
mean,
let's really break it down. Let's Bama, Georgia. Let's really apply our knowledge. You know.
All right. Yeah. Let's have Cerber. Can you play us some kind of like rain stick music to get in the mood?
Let's agree that Georgia Alabama is for a national championship. Is that fair?
That's fair.
By the way, if they were to play, yeah.
If this hypothetical SEC championship game, which did not happen, were to happen in this bizarro land, and like who could even imagine what this would look like if Georgia were to play Alabama in a SEC championship game of great import during a dream season? Definitely nothing soul crushing would happen for Georgia. We know that.
Yeah, they would go. They would not just go to the 5-yard line. They would get the ball all the way into the end zone, just to use a metaphor.
Definitely. Right. Or they wouldn't get close, or like they wouldn't toy with emotions. It would either be success or failure, not 95% of success.
Right. Teams from our state just don't do that.
Right. We should discuss, a few things about, you know, the game.
Sure.
Which is this. My number one question is, do we think either team scoring more than like 24?
Yeah, I do. I think there will be at least one special teams play or defensive scoring play or somebody getting like a short field or something. And I think like somebody will probably breach 30.
Last time they played, what was it, like 32-28, something like that?
Well, the last time they played was when Bama just the actual last time they played or they played? Right.
The last time they played that mattered.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that sounds right. That would have been the 2012 SEC championship, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a close game, admittedly, with I think a very different Georgia offense in a lot of ways. Like actually in some respects, this offense is better than the one that they faced.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I only say that because this is just, if you have two running back and you can average a pretty healthy, like strop in terms of pace, in terms of how many yards you get, it's just a little easier. That's if you can get it. If you can't, it's worse, right? Like if you're okay, our quarterback didn't have to make some stuff happen. That might happen. If your running backs are getting stuffed, there's not too many plays I can call for you, right? Other than, I don't know, toss, zone, ISO, off chat. Okay, counter. And none of it's working. Jason got to the question I want to ask, which is, why on earth we think a pro-style running attack, or at least like a sort of non-quarterback run game, has any chance against this defense? Because I know that you rarely beat Alabama. I know that you rarely move the ball. And I know that you rarely rush for more than 100 yards on them, even if you have two running backs. But I know that the teams who've done it, not exactly your standard, like, single back or pro-style run game. No, that hasn't happened, right? Everyone's hung up on, oh, man, it's a Saban assistant. Saban assistants don't beat Nick Saban. We all knew that. But the thing you can prove, like, statistically, over time, it's going to be real hard to gap them out. It's going to be real hard to see anything like what you saw against Oklahoma, where, I don't know, you get three guys shipped in the wrong way, and suddenly there are four blockers on one guy. That will not happen against Alabama. This is my nightmare about how the playoff would turn out, by the way, that Alabama would sneak in and be able to play slug ball, because the one team that could give them fits would get knocked out in that first round of games, which happened.
It was Oklahoma.
Yeah, when Georgia knocked out Oklahoma.
Lane Kiffin has literally said almost everything you just said, basically, that this is the matchup that they wanted. The defense was the story of the Sugar Bowl, not Clemson struggling on offense, because, like, Clemson looked great in the ACC championship game. Kelly Bryant had a good – the only game Clemson had lost was when they didn't have Kelly Bryant. So, like, we kind of easily glossed over what happened in that game. And, A, it was a reflection of how amazing Deshaun Watson was and how we probably didn't appreciate him enough when he was in our sport. That said, this was still – a deep team with established playmakers and coaches who knew what Alabama, like, they knew they were prepared for Alabama, and it just didn't matter. The fact that Clemson got held to 6 points and basically dick in terms of yardage should terrify Georgia fans right now, because the whole book on Alabama all year long was like, well, the defense is good, but it's not quite the same thing as it was before. And, like, you can get some number, you know, you watch the Mississippi State game and you're like, yeah, you can get some. But I don't know if Georgia is the team that can do it, minus unveiling something that they haven't done. And maybe they will do that. They showed a great ability to adjust against Oklahoma. They're definitely going to have to do that if they want to beat the Tide.
So those three weak games of Alabama's this year that everyone thinks of, LSU, where, yeah, the score was lopsided, but LSU outgained Alabama, the Mississippi State game that was close, and the Auburn loss. Bama had a ton of injuries for all those, and they still have quite a few, especially at linebacker, but they've gotten a lot healthier over the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bama we saw against Clemson, that was quite a bit more representative of what this team has been for most of the year and will probably be during this game. You know, Georgia's going to score more than 6 points, but that was like actual Bama. So it was fun seeing them get beat up by Auburn and all, but that was kind of their Clemson game against Syracuse. You know, everybody gets one of those per year.
Also, can I point out this, that if Alabama manages to slug or full Nelson submission grip their way to another numbing, almost entirely worthless in terms of entertainment national title game, right, through the playoff, who did they go to get there? They went through no championship game. Ding! And they went through quarterbacks who have something very important in common. What is that?
First-year starters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they get two first-year starters to roll through, if that's the case. Yeah.
All our Bama gloom, let's slightly push it to the side, because Jalen Hurts is pretty fun. Jalen Hurts is like the one little sparkling side of this that it will be really interesting to see what he, because, you know, he's definitely, he's probably the best mobile in terms of running the ball, in terms of when he decides to run the ball. He's probably the best quarterback that Georgia has faced in that regard. And they've played some mobile court, you know, the Notre Dame game, the Mississippi State game, Georgia Tech, obviously. They have faced some guys who can run, but Jalen Hurts is a big dude. Just a big man. It's unsettling sometimes. He's not Cam Newton big, but he's kind of like your if you were ordering if Cam Newton is the soda you order for yourself, Jalen Hurts is the soda you order for your 10-year-old.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, but I think that's right. If the soda you'd order for your 10-year-old was also a high school powerlifting champion.
Right.
Right?
Because it's the soda you'd order for your 10-year-old if you live in Georgia or Alabama.
Does this have androstenedione in it? Jesus, that's straight up steroids. Damn right.
Raise them right. Go Dogs.
The Tide need help. The Tide are going to need him in 8 years.
They're going to need him. You give him Big Papa Pumps, big signature, un-FDA licensed, performance enhancing. Though technically not performance enhancing, because that would open us to a different spectrum of legal liability and scientific oversight beverage.
Now, let's stop with prognostication. Let's move straight to what outcome will cause maximum pain and anguish in the college football universe. I think it's probably Georgia winning, and here's why. Because here's how I'm going to run through it. A, it's going to infuriate Alabama fans because now they've seen their team lose two consecutive national title games under Nick Saban. Both happened after Lane Kiffin left. No. Maybe he was the magic boy the whole time. And they have to do it at the hand. Now you have the whole disciple thing turned on its head. Now you have, is Kirby the chosen one? Is he the chubbiest, most special Padawan of them all? That's number one. Number two, Georgia, as we all know, has like 12 rivals. So Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, probably throw in South Carolina in there just for the hell of it. All will be furious because they have to watch their rival win a national championship game for the first time in, coming up on 40 years. So that's painful. Especially because it's happened so quickly. Auburn gets to feel that double deeply because they beat Georgia. Oh, how did this happen? We beat the damn Dogs. Let's see. We can get Notre Dame shoehorned in here. They'll be furious because they probably had the best chance to make this happen. They probably had the best chance to keep Georgia out of the playoff altogether. It is kind of fascinating to imagine what would have happened if Notre Dame beat Georgia, the rest of the season plays out as it is, and now we have a two-loss SEC championship game, SEC champion that we have to decide. Is Bama still getting in? And if they are...
Just put Bama at three. Put Bama at three at the Dogs at four. Bama just moving on up.
Yeah, it asks a lot of like weird questions. I feel like that's a good amount of frustration that we get to generate across college football. Whereas Alabama winning is just sort of like, yeah, Bama won another national championship. We're all like
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think this is the year that you get that reaction. I think if Bama wins, you see just openly, not my president. Just people refusing. Like, they're already online, at least. People are
But why? Just because they don't think Alabama should have been in the playoff in the first place?
There's that, yeah.
And they just held the number one seed to 6 points. Like, everybody said the same shit about Ohio State the first year of the playoff, and then they beat Alabama, and nobody said dick about it anymore. Nobody was listening to TCU and Baylor fans.
There wasn't this shiny undefeated object that you could point at and say like, okay, no, I like that one better because it's not the SEC.
Also, and let me read
the way it broke down. The committee really fucked this one up. If you're trying to bury the undefeated non-power team, don't let them play the team that beat two semifinalists, because if they pull off this win, now you have this like, you know, it's the kind of argument that you can sell as like bigger evidence than it is. UCF beat Georgia. UCF beat Auburn, which beat Georgia, and beat Alabama. That sounds really, really tidy. The committee shouldn't have done that.
This is why they put TCU and Boise in a bowl game, exactly. In a BCS game, mm-hmm. just so they can be like, we don't, no pelts for you. Sorry.
Just have UCF play Penn State. If UCF beats Penn State, this whole thing, no one, it doesn't take off.
Okay, give me the name of the biggest, dumbest, cruelest, stupidest billionaire. Like, just in theory.
Donald Trump.
Okay, cool.
He said billionaire.
Oh,
said billionaire, I yeah.
Misheard.
Yeah. Okay, if I just said the line and is followed, I don't want to do that, Bama. I don't dislike him that much. Okay, so I'll just pick a random one. Mark Zuckerberg. Okay.
Okay.
Definitely not someone who's contributed to the downfall of society and is just miserable and awful and crappy like a Walmart for the brain. No, Mark Zuckerberg wins the lottery. Like that's what this would be, right?
Right.
This is look, Bama gets another one. And we get a reinforcement of the most dismal way to coach and play the game. This suffocating, horrible, talent frittering. Yeah, I'm sure.
Why is that not true of Georgia? Let me ask, why is that not true of Georgia?
That's not true of Georgia for one reason. Okay? And that one is this. When was the last time Georgia was even here? When was the last time Georgia?
No. I agree with that. But if we're just saying that it rewards this, you know, punishing, slow, grind you until your bones are paste brand of football that we don't like, that we're saying that that's the case. It doesn't matter who wins. I mean, Alabama has thrown, I believe, more passes this year than Georgia. Yeah, Alabama's thrown 27 more passes this year than Georgia has.
I don't know, man. Georgia just gave the world a 100-point Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put that for some reason.
And they threw the ball 29 times in a double overtime game.
Yeah.
Efficiency.
That's fine.
They threw for 210 yards.
I would say this. Statistically, not that much different. In fact, maybe more exaggerated version of that on paper. And when you watch it, it's entirely different. I can't exactly explain why it's different. You know what else makes it different? Bama's got like 38 national titles. That's the number we're focusing on today. 38. Go find them. Okay. Georgia's got 2. And the last one happened when neither of you were alive.
Thank God.
Okay. I remember it. And I remember the aftermath. Do you know what the aftermath was? 25 years of delusion.
So here we go.
So here we go. This is my favorite thing because, okay, hypothetical. Let's say Kirby pulls this off. It could be the worst thing that ever happened to him. Okay?
Well, because he'll pull it off. Just get the New York Giants job. It's fine.
Oh, and then what? We get 10 years of him never doing this again. Right? We get 10 years of, well, I can't believe I can't get like two basically perfect running backs. The schedule to lay right, everyone else to suck when I need him to suck in order to just steamroll him. I don't know, a 9-6 game in the national title to win it, right? Because that's what you want a sign that this is actually turned, right? You want like, man, Georgia beat him 34-8, right? We made Nick Saban quit. Yeah, we made Nick Saban quit.
Nick Saban cry.
Dogs are back. Saban's Dogs crying. Are back.
Nick Saban takes the Arizona job, just slinks off.
And like, I'm not saying Kirby can't do that, right? I'm not saying that it has to be one or the other. You could get a Midland version where they win it this year and it never happens again. Because guess what? I've seen better coaches do that, right?
Sure.
Like, yeah, I've seen better coaches do that in like year two or year three. And it never quite pans out.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher just fucking left Florida State. He had a contract that literally gave him no reason to leave. He continued to dominate recruiting in the state. Listen, Bud could get on here and give us the 18 different things he needed to do, but he would have been allowed to do all of them. He could have fired any assistant he wanted. There was like, that was his program. He had the latitude and the built-up cred and the, I think, reasonable excuses of what happened this year to weather that storm fine. And he just said, nope, moving on.
Nah. Out.
So Kirby Smart, head coach of the Longhorns by 2025.
Well, that'll be awkward since Texas will be in the SEC by then. But yeah, I guess so. I guess that'll work.
I mean, I will just say this. If you assume that this is the kind of thing where you go, oh, man, Kirby stole the ring. He's the keeper now. Okay. You can go ahead and assume that. Go back and look at what Alabama's done under Nick Saban. That's a singular quantity, right? Go back and look. Hey, this is the one that just, like, if you just go, oh, man, like, historically, the one that just is so baffling to me. Like, Mac Brown, we joke about Mac. Mac's a good coach. And you know what he was in charge of? All the money in the most, like, football crazy state in the union. And you know how many he got? Uno. Uno. That's it. And he got a shot at another. That's it. These are rare, right? Alabama fans, you're mutants. You have a skewed understanding of reality, because this is like an every other year thing for you.
Pete Carroll did it without a ton of recruiting challenges around him. Like, Alabama still has to recruit against Auburn and Georgia and LSU and Florida and Clemson. Tennessee and Clemson and, like, Florida State. The list goes on and on. Like, mm-hmm. Southern California kids, especially in 01 to 05 or so, like, you were going to USC if you wanted to stay close. There was nowhere else you were considering. Pete won two, and they're not really counting them all at this point.
Yeah, and you start going through the list of talent that did that. And that, like, going through the, like, players who were on those teams. Go look at near miss teams and look at the list of players who are on those near miss teams, right? It's an obscenity when you start looking through it and go, hi, yeah, I don't. Man, like, that's, I mean, and as recently as Jimbo, Florida, they had it all. They had dudes who, they had every recruit in Florida for a while, right? Every major recruit who did not play cornerback, linebacker, defensive line, because Will Muschamp can spot those. Yeah, and they got one.
So how many titles would you bet on Kirby winning at Georgia?
Oh, based on their current matchup. And on based
on where they are today,
is Nick Saban still coaching a conference? Because I have that anticipated number. Zero. That's the number. Zero. Do you know how many Dan Mullen's going to get at Florida based on current lineups?
Yeah.
Zero. Right? You know how many Jeremy Pruitt's going to get? Oh, can I get negative? Can he have one subtracted from him that he didn't? Yeah. Take one off the board. It's not happening as long as Alabama's around.
I'll put them down for two.
You put them down for two.
they've overtaken Bama's place on the recruiting pecking order. You know, this class at least, class has a shot to be one of the five highest rated ever. Already got, like, you know, just five star on five star in the quarterback room. I don't know, man. They set up to take over. They really do.
Maybe you might be right. That said, college football is a cruel and inhuman place. It really is. Let's wrap this with predictions. The most unimportant part of literally any sports content that can be possible. Please predict this game that we are all going to watch either way, and that you shouldn't listen to us because we're almost always wrong except the Sandman. So Sandman, you can go first.
So, my record this season picking SEC games has been perfect, flawless, unparalleled, as listeners surely all agree. No one can recall any I got wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
This happens to be an SEC game. It's not really supposed to be, but it is. So, I'll go ahead and apply that SEC picking wisdom to the fucking national title game, as stupid as that is. I'm going to go ahead and say George is going to win the football game.
Wow.
I'm telling y'all, the baton is being passed.
Okay.
In the great relay race of unwatchable football.
Okay. Spencer.
Alabama 24-10.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it'll be awful. It'll be awful, too. It'll be the worst. It'll be the worst thing you watch all year.
They should have you be the person in the hospital who tells people their family member has died in a car. Because you're just like, hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, his head cleanly severed. You're definitely going to have to do closed casket. Like, what I'm telling you is we don't know where the head is. That's what I'm telling you. I have to go now. I'm Dr. Spencer Hall.
Not like the doc. You know, I'm not even a doctor. They just hand me the news and I walk in.
That man in a tank top just told me that Jerry's dead.
Yeah. What? You want me to tell you that there's like a gentle way that your man got his head crushed in a vice in an industrial accident? No, I'm going to lay it out for you. Okay.
Yeah. We think he was masturbating. Okay. Yeah. You should know that.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Let's see. Your husband, he died. Okay. You want to know how he died? Shot himself. You know why? He is embezzling. Who from? Your dad, who he worked for. It's going to be fucked up. Sorry. That's my job. I got to go over there and tell that kid that his dad died. Okay. When he was run over by an elephant, which will simultaneously ruin his life, but stimulate his interest in zoology. It's a busy day and I got a lot of index cards to read. Okay. Alabama 24-10.
Jesus. I will stick with my preservation technique, which worked out well in the semifinals, where both teams I did not want to win did. So Georgia, yes, Georgia is going to win the national championship. And more importantly, that does mean we'll probably get another video. I hope during the postseason trophy presentation, or the postgame trophy presentation, of Alabama destroying the runner-up trophy, because second is for bitches and cowards! Britain came in second. What are you, fucking British?
That's all we're doing, man. We're just telling all the ways Alabama can't do it, right? You know what? At 2 o'clock, doesn't exist. Go straight to 3 o'clock, okay? Don't want anything to do with second. All right?
As hard as it is, imagine Nick Saban playing this podcast for his team as motivational material.
I think it would backfire. They'd be a little too confused to focus on how pissed off they are.
Well, the grocery clerk and the chipper girl both picked Georgia. You hear that?
And you know who picked you? The communist. Okay, that's the only people believing in you. That's sick and twisted, ain't it? You got like old busted ass QT coffee drinking Trotsky over here picking your team.